I really like that song, but I think I was making up some of the words. Good to see everybody here today. I really am glad that you are here, and especially since God has given us free choice, I think it's worth mentioning that it's good that you're here. You chose the good thing, and it means something. It means something to me, it means something to your brothers and sisters. It shows that you care about God, that you care about each other, and that is worth mentioning. So thank you very much for coming out today. Somebody asked me this morning, said, what are you going to be speaking about? The Bible? You know, they said, don't say the Bible, basically. And I guess they know me well enough to know that I was going to say the Bible. And I said, no, it's not the Bible, it's Peter Pan. You know, so didn't see that one coming, right? We are going to talk a little bit today about Peter Pan. There's an article that I want to read to you. And it's something I ran across, I think, somewhere around 2013, a guy that's a Latin teacher. And he made some observations about our culture. And this was something that was printed in Imprimis magazine. And it kind of spurred, as I saw this, it spurred some thoughts to me that generated, keyed some verses and generated this sermon. So if you'll listen, I'll read. We live in a culture of Peter Pans. The great Roman statesman, orator, and philosopher Marcus Tullius Cicero wrote, "Not to know what happened before you were born, that is to be always a boy, to be forever a child." In a sense, historical understanding, knowledge of what has happened before you were born, is primary to all realms of knowledge. Science is the study of the great discoveries of the past and our knowledge of the natural world. Literature is the study of great writings of past cultures that embody human experience in the form of story and poem. Mathematics is the study of how great minds of the past have ordered for us the use of abstract numbers and symbols in relation to the physical world. The arts are the studies of how the varied and diverse cultures, creations of the past, historical understandings in all these areas humanize, mature, and uplift the soul. Too many citizens of our country today are, in Cicero's terms, forever children. If knowledge of the past matures the soul, it is not something we can afford to marginalize or sideline. Unfortunately, the hard work of gaining knowledge, eloquence, and wisdom is all too often skirted by teacher and student alike. Because we've neglected knowledge of the past and the great tradition of historical understanding, we live in a culture of Peter Pans, flying free in Neverland with no past, no future, only the ever-present game. And that really just hit home to me when I look at our culture. The ever-present game, the mock battle against pirates or Indians, Wendy's stories with their plot of real challenges to be overcome only reveal to us our immaturity, the fact that we are forever children who won't grow up. Jason Barney is the author of that article. You know, obviously he missed spiritual history. He missed that point. But I think we can certainly understand that point must be made, that we have to understand the history of the world with regards to God and what God has done for people to really get a grasp on what we should be doing. So a couple of points I have to look at here in our culture. Our culture does bear a striking resemblance to the article, to Peter Pan, to the whole Neverland idea, floating through life as adult children without care and without perspective. How many people do we know and work around and interact with that are just that way? Always immersed in the trivial while ignoring what is real. Doesn't that describe what we see in politics and entertainment, what we see in the people that we're around? Supremely self-centered. What a self-centered culture we live in. Truth and God are villainized, while self-expression and tolerance are the heroes. Fighting misguided wars against boogeymen like Christianity, integrity, and morality, and ignoring the real monsters of sin, irresponsibility, and false religion that live in our families, our homes, our workplaces, our governments, and our culture. You know, the whole story of Peter Pan is one of my favorite movies. Love it. You know, it's an exciting story, wonderful story when you're watching it and it's imaginary. You know, and you get to voluntarily suspend your disbelief and immerse yourself in that world. But it's terribly sad when you look and you see adults in real life living that life, childishly irresponsible and living in spiritual destruction because they won't grow up. So that's the contrast. You know, it's fun to watch this movie, but it's terrible when it is the life that we live in. The purpose of this lesson, I'm going to make a few points here that I hope that we will touch on. I want to illustrate the lost nature and the influence of our culture because it's something we need to be careful about. We need to see it. We need to recognize it. We need to be aware of it. Show how people turn God's plan upside down when they try to do things their way, when they try to find fulfillment, try to find meaning in something other than God's way, God's methods. And indicate the futility. And think about this one. Indicate the futility of negotiating and cooperating with lost boys. Now, we have to live here. We have to live in this earth. We have to live in this world. But if we think that we're going to find something that's truly in common with these people in this world that has meaning, we're going to find ourselves being disappointed. We can't love this world. We have to understand that we are foreigners in a foreign land. And remind us that this has all happened before and it will all happen again. And that's a funny little line there from the movie if you're familiar with it. But it's also truth. It's something that's spoken of in the scriptures. And encourage all of us to diligently avoid childish influences of this culture. That's the real point. We're going to look at the world. We're going to look at ourselves. We're going to evaluate ourselves against this. So real life Peter Pans is what we're going to be looking at. Real life Peter Pans. They don't know the value of wisdom. Think about that. If you don't see a future or a past, how can you appreciate and understand the value of wisdom? Proverbs 23:23, simple and easy to understand there. Buy the truth and do not sell it. Also wisdom, instruction, and understanding. How many people in our world value wisdom? How many people even use the word wisdom? How many people even talk about wisdom? It's utterly ignored in our culture. Psalm 19:10, more to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. That does not sound like a pop song, does it? That's not the kind of bling, the kind of flash that our culture is looking for. But it's what God says that matters, and it's something that's utterly missed by a culture of children. Lost boys don't live by a stable moral code. If you've seen the movie, you see that there's always fluctuations in power. There's always, this is right, no, this is right, no, this is wrong. Exodus chapter 3, verse 14, God says, I am who I am. What does our culture say about a self-existent, self-proclaiming God? They call Him a fairy tale. They call Him a product of the imaginations of mankind, trying to make ourselves feel better with some type of conscience salve. We've created this God. And yet God says, I am who I am. I am here because I have always been here. And I've always been who I am. John 17:17, Jesus says, your word is truth. Our culture says, what is truth? Truth is something that's relative in our world. Matthew 5:37, Jesus says, let your yes be yes and your no be no. And our culture says, well, unless it's not advantageous, you know, then say whatever you need to say to get you through that moment. Matthew 13:33, a tree is known by its fruits. Wow. It's an amazing statement in the midst of how people live and think today. People would have you believe today that you can find the worst type of rotten fruit hanging on a good tree, a tree that's perfectly fine, that's perfectly acceptable, because our moral code as a culture of lost boys is no longer that of godliness, but it is of ourselves. Lost boys are beholden to other lost boys. They listen to what the lost boys around them say. They believe what they say is true. They focus on what they say matters. Jesus talked about this in the context of the children of Israel, Luke 7:32. He said, as he's talking about what's alike in the generation, he says, they're like children sitting in the marketplace calling to one another and saying, we played the flute for you. You didn't dance. We mourned and you didn't weep. I mean, think about that. They're offended. They're upset. You know, don't you understand how this is supposed to work? When I do something like that, you're supposed to have the proper reaction. You're supposed to have the assigned reaction, one that I say you should have. And that's our culture. Our culture says you're supposed to behave this way. You're supposed to think this way. You're supposed to react this way. And Jesus pointed out that that is indeed a massive problem. They misunderstood Him as a whole because of this concept. They misunderstood His coming and what He was all about because they defined life by their own limited understanding. Matthew 15:14, Jesus says, when the blind lead the blind, they will both fall into a pit. If you're blind and have no concept of truth, no concept of a moral code, you don't know where you're going. And that is our culture. That is the world that we live in. Truth has been cast aside, and they march forward boldly towards the pit, towards the ditch. Peter Pans are selfish. Peter Pans are selfish and self-centered. We've all heard it. I am a precious snowflake. I am unique. There is no one else like me, and therefore I have special permissions in this world. I have special rights that no one else gets to enjoy because I am me and I am unique. And ultimately, that is nothing more than selfishness that is hidden in the whole idea of self-confidence. Got three verses here that are the most important things, in my opinion. Romans 3:23 tells us that all have sinned. That is the most important fact about every human being on this earth. It's the most important fact about you and about me. It's what we need to understand. It's what everybody needs to come to grips with. You have sinned. You have done wrong. Romans 3:24, Jesus died to redeem sinners. You've been blessed with good fortune of a loving God. That even though you don't deserve it, even though you're not special, you're just like everybody else that has sinned, God sent His Son, God who is indeed special, sent His Son who is indeed special and is unique to save you, to redeem you from your sin. And then Luke 9:23, Jesus says the most important thing that you can do is to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow Him. See, life is not about fulfilling myself, about doing what comes to me naturally. It's about recognizing my sinfulness and calling on the only God that can help me and denying myself in order to let Him save me His way. And our culture misses that in the midst of saying, me, me, me. Lost boys don't know how to put someone else first. It's not in their emotional, spiritual vocabulary. They don't know how to put themselves in the back seat and put somebody else in the front seat, because life is all about self and others are excluded from consideration. Philippians 2:5-8, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. In other words, he had all the status, all the standing, all the place to say, I don't deserve this nonsense. I don't deserve to have to go and do this. And yet, he subjected himself to it. He made himself of no reputation. He took the form of a bondservant. He came in the likeness of sinful man. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. And that is our pattern. That is who we are to look to. Hebrews says, let us consider one another. Direct commandment from God. This is what we're about as Christians. Let us consider one another to stir each other up to love and good works. Think about that whole concept. I will miss the very purpose of the church. I will miss God's assignment to me if I am self-centered, if I behave like the lost boys, like the Peter Pans around me. How can I consider others and what I must do to help them be stronger, to get closer to God, if I'm entirely focused on myself? Peter Pans don't understand the value of human relationships. They will talk about human relationships. They will give lip service to certain types of human relationships. But they don't understand the value of human relationships. Life is lived with loose and empty connections to hundreds of people who are kept at a distance by the internet and social media. Think about what people call relationships today. Think about what people call friends today. Many people have thousands of friends, and yet no one cares enough to tell them when they're wrong, or when they're saying something that's inconsistent with the truth. The concept of responsibility and accountability between human beings is swallowed up by the lies of remoteness, of distance, and of the digital disconnect. I can say anything or I can ignore anything because, after all, we're only connected through this phone, this social media, this device. We're not really that close. And the net effect is that no one owes anybody anything in a lost boy culture. I don't owe you anything. You don't owe me anything. That's the way that our culture defines relationships. That's how we walk by the person hurting on the street. That's how we watch somebody's spiritual life crash and burn because we've created this distance. Romans 13:8, God says to owe no one anything except to love one another. Yes, I'm grabbing that out of its specific context, but the point is that's what we owe one another. We owe each other the love that God has shown us. That's what we owe the people around us. That's what we owe each other as Christians. For he who loves another has fulfilled the law. You can certainly read 8 through 10 in that chapter if you want to get the larger context. Proverbs 27:17. One of my favorite verses, one of the verses a lot of you have used towards me and I've used towards a lot of you, as iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. How are we ever going to sharpen one another when we won't get close enough to each other to see what's actually going on in somebody's life? When we won't get close enough to care enough to say, hey, brother, that's not right what you're doing, or that way that you've been living your life needs to change. We can't sharpen one another. We can't improve one another when we don't understand the value of human relationships. And God has designed us as a group of people in the church that are supposed to interact with one another, that are supposed to make each other better so that the sum total is better and greater than the individual parts. Lost boys don't know how to love appropriately. Think on that for a moment. The very centerpiece of God's design for us, that we would love each other, that we would love Him. And lost boys have no concept on how to love one another. Love is a missing idea in our culture. Love has become a gift that you give yourself. And yes, I am quoting Celine Dion and Barbara Streisand on that one. Love has become a gift that you give to yourself, not a gift that you give to someone else who perhaps is not loved by anybody, perhaps somebody who needs it, but a gift that we give to ourselves. Galatians 5:13-15 says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh." In other words, don't use that liberty to serve yourself, but through love serve one another. "For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware lest you be consumed by one another." And when love is a gift that we give ourselves, verse 15 is what we do the opposite of. We bite and we devour one another because you aren't fulfilling me. You're not giving me what I need. You're not being the person that you owe to me. And then we bite and we devour one another. We miss the whole point of God's plan. And if that's not what lost boys do, I don't know what is. That is exactly the way that childish lost boys, Peter Pan's, behave. 1 Corinthians 13 tells us that love is anything but selfish. Peter Pan's are short-sighted. They are short-sighted. The self-control that is required in life to invest in the future just simply does not exist because there is no concept of eternity. There is no concept of tomorrow. There is only the now. There is only the immediate. There is only the very moment that I live in. Carpe diem is the war cry of the lost boy. Seize the day. Live for the moment and don't worry about what comes tomorrow. Proverbs 10:27 tells us just the opposite. "The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened." In other words, living against God, living contrary to God, ignoring eternity is a surefire way to shorten your days and make the ones that you have very difficult. Jude 5. This is a verse that came up last week in the sermon. Jude 5 says, "But I want to remind you, though you once knew this, that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterward destroyed those who did not believe." And think about that. If I don't understand history, I don't understand God. If I can't see the way that God has behaved towards mankind in the past, then I'm left to just try to define Him out of thin air, try to make Him however I want Him to be. I need that perspective. I need to understand that God hates sin and that God won't tolerate me if I'm full of sin. Lost boys are irreverent. Think about that. What does our culture revere? What does our culture hold in the highest of esteem? Fame? I'm amazed at how many young people I'm around today that is a goal. You know, if this happened to me, everybody would know who I am. If this goes viral, everybody would know my name. I would be famous. And what is it that we should hold in high esteem? Lost boys don't know what to hold in high esteem because they are irreverent. Jude 8 says, "Likewise also these dreamers defile the flesh. They reject authority and they speak evil of dignitaries." Now, from our cultural standpoint, you read that verse and you're like, whoa, speaking evil of dignitaries, oh my, you know, heavens to Betsy. The point is that they are so far gone that it doesn't matter to them what they say or who they say it about. They don't any longer understand what matters. God becomes a joke. The authorities that God has established become a joke. Parents become a joke. The family becomes a joke. All the structure that God has set up becomes a joke, becomes nothing more than a myth, a lost cause in Neverland. Peter Pan's are unrestrained. They are unrestrained. They refuse to restrain themselves. They do not have self-control. Their emotions are always on their sleeve. Their thoughts are announced out loud at once. The moment it comes to mind, it is spoken, because there is no restraint, no inhibition. Their desires are acted on impulsively. Rather than turning the other cheek, they hit back twice as hard, because that is what the flesh says to do. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 5. But know this, that in the last days perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. The verse goes on to say, from such people turn away. The concept there is that we need to be careful who we allow ourselves to be around. We need to be careful who we allow to influence us, who we allow to affect the way that we think. And we are absolutely surrounded by lost boys and by Peter Pans as we live in this world. Lost boys don't know how to suffer for a cause. Lost boys don't even see a cause that is important enough to suffer for, because nothing is worth working hard or suffering over in the land of lost boys. Instant gratification is preferred over laboring and accomplishing. Suffering as a whole is declared bad and unnecessary. How many examples can we find? Look at the financial situation that the United States lives in, both personally as individuals, collectively as a nation. We don't need to worry about the debt that we have, because I have what I want right now. Yeah, the credit card, I'll cancel some of that debt through some debt consolidation. I never will have to pay that back, really. I'll pay some percentage of that, and everything will be fine, and I'll get me mine right now, and everything will be good, because we are an instant gratification culture of children. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecutions. Think about that. How do you suffer just by living a godly life in this world? We don't have as much stuff as other people do. You don't have the same lifestyle because your priorities are different. You don't live the same way, and therefore you are strange. You are a weirdo in this world. God intended for it to be that way. Jesus was a strange cat. He was a weirdo when he was here, and so should we be. 1 Peter 5:5-6. Likewise, you younger people, submit yourselves to your elders. Well, that sounds like suffering. I don't know if I want to do that. You know, they may have some ideas that I don't agree with, because after all, their ideas are old, my ideas are new, and my ideas are better because they're new. That is the way that lost boys think. That is the way that our culture thinks. And yet, God tells us to submit to our elders. Yes, all of you, all of you be submissive to one another and be clothed with humility. Well, I don't want to listen to younger people because they're younger and they don't know anything. But yet I have to listen, and I have to be humble, and I have to be submissive to the needs, to those things that the people around me have to say, because God tells me to be clothed in humility as a Christian. For God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. And that's not what lost boys want to do. That's not what our culture wants to do. 1 Peter 2:21, For to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow His steps. Christ suffered. He went through all kinds of things that He didn't have to go through, that He probably didn't feel like going through, that certainly didn't lend themselves towards instant gratification for Him. And yet He endured all of it for the sake of the reward, for the sake of what could be accomplished for us. Thank God that He did. Thank God that He didn't think like our culture thinks. Peter Pans are without understanding of their own vulnerability. You know, we live in a culture where nothing can hurt us, where nothing is so powerful that it's dangerous. We can go right up to any choice, any decision, any lifestyle. We can jump right in head first, and everything's going to be fine, because after all, we're mature and evolved, and we understand better than those people that lived before us, and we can handle it, is what our culture would say. But what it amounts to is that our culture winds up playing with fire and saying to themselves, fire won't burn me because I'm different, because I'm unique, because I'm special, because I'm more clever. And the writer of Proverbs understood this about mankind. Chapter 6, verse 27 asks the question, can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? It's a rhetorical question. Everybody knows the answer to that. Go grab a hot red log out of the fire and see what happens. It will burn you. It doesn't matter how smart you are. It doesn't matter that you've got some new ideas about how to do it. It's going to burn you. And we need to understand that that's how sin works today. 1 Peter 5:8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Our culture tells us that there is no real devil, that the real devils are people who try to hold them accountable to the truth, that there's nothing to really be worried about out there. There's nothing that's going to devour me. And yet God says that we need to be vigilant. We need to pay attention because there is a real adversary. And so Neverland is a world full of fire eaters and lion tamers who don't realize that they are being utterly consumed with flame and in the mouth of a roaring beast, in sin and death. They are dying and they don't understand it. Peter Pan's Lost Boys have no concept of history and its lessons, because history in the mind of the Lost Boy begins with the day that they arrived. You see, for a lot of people, and you just kind of test this in your life when you leave here, test this with people that you talk to. Most people's concept of history begins with their own birth or with their own consciousness. The day that I realized I was, that's when life began. That's when it really started to matter. What a self-centered concept. What a selfish idea. And what an inaccurate thought. And yet it is the way that we naturally think if we don't teach ourselves better than that. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. In a much larger context here, probably verses 1 through 11, Paul is explaining things that have happened to Israel and the mistakes that they made in the wilderness and how they sinned against God and how God left them to wander. And he explains to us now, the reader, the New Testament reader, he says, now all these things happen to them as examples. That word example is something we don't want to pay a lot of attention to today in our world, because that means I have to learn from somebody else. It's happened to them as examples, and they were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And he says, God did all that and wrote it all down so that you would have a better perspective on how to live your life, so that you could understand that there's no sense in following that same path that Cain followed, or that Korah in his rebellion followed, or that you fill in the blank, whatever Old Testament story teaches you the best to stay away from sin. He says, they're written down so that we can learn. We don't have to make the same mistakes, but if we're ignorant to those facts, to those truths, we will learn nothing. We will repeat those mistakes over and over. New has replaced the age-old truths of life, as it always has. And Solomon speaks to that in Ecclesiastes chapter 1, verses 4 through 11. That which has been is what will be, and that which is done is what will be done, and there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, see, this is new. It has already been in ancient times before us. There is no remembrance of the former things, nor will there be any remembrance of the things that are to come by those who will come after us. He's making a commentary on how people think and live and how they ignore the truth. They ignore the facts of life. They ignore what has happened, because that's the easiest thing to do. That's the easiest path to take. And ultimately, we know that that path of ignoring the truth means that we are doomed to fall into the same pits and the same holes that people before us fell into. Ultimately, I think the worst thing here, the worst item to discuss, the saddest thing, is that Lost Boys miss out on salvation through childish ignorance. They miss out on God's plan, God's invitation to salvation, because they have no idea that it exists. They have no idea of the reality. John wrote towards the end of his gospel, and truly Jesus did many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. See, if I don't know that history, if I don't know that fact, if I don't know what Jesus did, then I don't know who Jesus was. And I can't have life in his name because I can't believe. Romans 1:16 tells us that the power of God is in the gospel. The power of God for salvation is vested in the words of the gospel. And if I don't know the gospel, if I'm ignorant to the history of those facts, then I don't have access to the gospel. It's not going to descend upon me like fairy dust or like anything else. It's something I have to know and encounter with my mind. I have to consider and reason through and want for myself. So what is the what's the antidote? Spent a lot of time talking about the problem. And the real point of this lesson is not to just sit up here and beat my breast about problems, because we can do that, you know, ad nauseum. The point here is that we need to understand the solution. We need to also take time to look at ourselves and say, do I match some of these patterns that we see in Lost Boys? Do I sometimes live with a Peter Pan, Neverland mindset? And so what is the antidote? What is it that's going to help us, that's going to draw us out of this false way of thinking, this incorrect lifestyle, and keep us where we belong? Romans chapter 13, verse 14. I love this verse because it's simple. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill it and its lust. So put on Christ and get the world out of you. Start filling yourself through study, through prayer, through consideration. Put on Christ. Put on Christ in baptism. Put on Christ in faith. Put on Christ through the methods that God has given us. Put on Christ through being around Christians who will sharpen you. Put on Christ and drive this culture far from you. Don't fill your life and your mind and your heart with the things of this world, or you might find yourself quickly behaving and thinking like a lost boy, like someone who lives in Neverland. Grow up is what this is really telling us to do. Stop acting like a child. It's time for us all to grow up and act like Christ. Take responsibility for ourselves. Own the decisions that we've made in the past so that we can be smart enough and humble enough to grow away from them in the future. Leave childhood and childish foolishness behind and take on godliness with all of your strength. Ephesians chapter 4, 11 through 16. This is a longer reading. I don't have it on the board here. If you want to grab your Bible, you can open up to Ephesians chapter 4. This is a series of verses here that emphasizes the need for maturity, the need for us all as Christians to grow up and to keep moving forward and to do the things that God has commanded us to do so that we will become adults and not continue as children. Ephesians 4, verses 11 through 16. And he himself gave some to be apostles, talking about Jesus being the he, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, until we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to a measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now just pause there for a moment. Think about when we're young boys, young children, young ladies. We look at our parents and we say, I want to be a measure of that person. And if it's not your parents, perhaps there's been some spiritual advisor in your life, some spiritual example that you've looked at as you've grown up. So I want to be a measure of that person. This is really telling us Jesus needs to be that person for all of us. He needs to be that spiritual standard that we look at. Like children, and we say, I want to be like my older brother. I want to be like my dad, like my father, God, when I grow up. That's the kind of longing hope that I think he's talking about here as we look at what we want to be as children as we grow up. As we grow into all things, the head, verse 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. And just picture that end result. That end result, that we edify one another, we grow together in love, so much different than a crumbling, degrading, childish, run-by-children society. But it's an effective, functional, working body that does the will of God. So if you're caught up in our culture, my advice is snap out of it. Get your mind out of that culture and get your mind in Christ. Grow up and be mature in Christ. On top of that, you need to do everything that you can do. We need to do everything that we can do to help the other people around us that are in that culture to snap out of it, to get their heads out of the clouds, to get their heads into reality, to understand there is an eternity, There is a God who they will stand before. And it's terrifying to encounter that if you have no idea that it's coming. I got one more thing I want to read to you here. You can read it to yourself as well. This is from a gentleman that had at least one good thought. The Christian ideal has not been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and left untried. Think about how true that is in a culture of lost boys like we live in. People look at Christianity and say, no, too hard, too complex, impossible. You know, it's not even worth beginning. It's not even worth considering. It's just not going to happen. Do we think that way sometimes? Have we approached the assignment? Have we approached the life that God has called on us to live and looked at it and said, you know, it's a little deeper than I wanted to invest. That's a little bit more challenging than I wanted to embark upon. I hope not. But now is the time that you should be encouraged to do different if you have. We can't sit back as mere observers, as spectators, and remark about how ridiculous our culture is. We have to become involved. We have to become educators. We have to be somebody who's part of the solution. And if you don't know how to do that, then it's time that you learn. It's time that you move to a place where you do know how to teach people about the truth of God. It is our solemn duty as Christians to be educated in godliness and to educate those that are around us. It is our solemn duty to be mature as Christians and to educate those that are around us. So don't be guilty of finding it too difficult. And be careful that you don't get lost in the culture of childish ease. It is easy to look around us and say, wow, I'm the only one doing anything. I'm the only one trying. I'm the only one that's in this battle. I'm all alone. You know, people that are much more godly than I have said that in the past and it's been written down. But we're not alone. God always has servants. God always has people that are working for Him. God always has people that are moving the ball the direction He wants it to be moved. And don't ever fall into the trap of thinking that you're by yourself or that it's not worth it, because it absolutely is. So I hope that you found this encouraging. I hope that you have found this reflective. I hope that you had a moment or two to look at yourself and see, do I act like these people? Do I act like the world? Do I act like, you know, Peter Pan, like a lost boy sometimes? I mean, basically, we shouldn't expect anything different from a culture of lost boys than what we see. But we have to expect something different from ourselves. We have to expect something different from each other. So if you're not a Christian, we want to invite you this morning to become one. We want to help you to put on Christ. We want to give you the information from the Scriptures, not from us, but from the Scriptures, that can help you to find Christ and find Him the right way. We want to give you the opportunity to be baptized into Christ, to put Him on in faith the way that God has defined that is done. And if you are a Christian, then we always are here to help you. If you're having a hard time, a hard moment, a hard season, if you just recognize there's something you haven't been strong in, something you need to do differently, we want to support you in making that right. So if we can help you with anything, please come forward while we stand and sing.